This is The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Happy Sunday and welcome to The Parenting Show. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And with me, I always get very excited about my guests because I'm really lucky because a lot of my guests are people that are in my life, my friends, my dear friends. And so tonight we've got Kathy Buckworth. She is a parenting expert. She is an author and she is the host of the Go To Grandma podcast because she's not a grandma once, not twice, but three times now because there's a new baby that just came, right, Kathy?
Absolutely. Number three, the first granddaughter. How's that? So my daughter, Tori Halpin, who's also on your show quite often, she won't be on this week. She's a little busy. But she's got now Owen, who's 3.5, Cam, who's 2, and baby Sloan Isabel, who is 6 days old, I guess, today as we speak. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations, Grandma. Hey. Which I can't believe. It's so funny. Like, I look at you and I'm like, you are like the coolest, most amazing grandma ever. These kids are so lucky to have you.
Oh, that's so nice. And you know what? Because they're only 3 and 2, they do still think I'm cool. Don't ask my kids though. Because my kids, right? My four kids range in age from 21 to 31, right? And I'm pretty sure none of them find me very cool anymore.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. And we've had you on the show so many times before, talking about all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. We have also talked about you being a grandma, but I want to focus on that today.
Sure.
Because there are a lot of active, young, amazing grandmas out there that listen to the shows. And hold on, I got to ask, do you want to be called grandma? Like, or do they have a different name for you?
They do call me grandma, actually. It's funny you ask that. We went through that, of course, when Owen was born a few years ago. And I'm grandma. And his other grandma is Grandma D, which is the initial of her name. So, and then we have granddad and we have granddad Mark. So everyone's got like a grandma granddad sort of connotation. We're WASPs, Pina. We don't have Nona's, Bob, whatever, all of those, right? I'm just like, I'm not grandmother, let's be honest, right?
Well, I don't know. Say if you wanted like, you know, like a little spin on it and be like, well, I want to be fancy and be called grandma, you know?
Grandma, that'd be fancy, wouldn't it? Yes, maybe I'll go for that one, actually.
You know, this way you can pour like their milk in a champagne flute and they can just walk around the house and be like, grandmama.
Well, actually, my husband is funny, he's granddad, but my dad is thankfully still around, so he's great granddad. So Owen was saying the other day something about granddad. He said, is it great granddad? And my daughter said, no, not this time. He said, oh, regular granddad. So now we call my husband regular granddad because he's not great.
I love it. Right? So, you know, Kathy, you just mentioned you've got four kids that range in ages. You said the youngest now being
21. So he's just finished his third year at McMaster. And then I've got a 24-year-old kid, Bridget, who just came back from teaching snowboarding out at Big White. And then I've got, how old is he? 29-year-old. Yes. Son who lives in, I know, right. Who lives in Calgary. And then the 31-year-old Tori, of course, who has made me grandma three times over now.
So how amazing is it to not only have grandchild number three, but like you said, it's the first girl.
It is, you know, and it's so funny in a world where we're all very obviously conscious of gender identification and sexual orientation and all those things, which we absolutely should be. I have a non-binary child and I'm, you know, we are very conscious of pronouns and is pink for girls, is blue for boys. We are happy to have a girl and we're putting her in pink. So. Yeah. And we support everybody else and everybody else that they do. So yeah, we're very excited about Sloan.
Yeah. You know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. To each their own and like, not. You just do you and what makes you happy and absolutely. What works for your family.
Absolutely. What works for your family. You know, so we're thrilled to have a little girl in the mix with the two big brothers. And I think they are too. So yeah, it's all good. You know, and the boys are very excited. They know, call her a girl. And we have all of the toys that are obviously all gender all the time ready. So she's all set to jump right in with the boys for sure.
But I kind of feel bad for Sloan. She's got two older brothers.
Well, and most, you know what? So far, they're being really good. So baby, early days, only 6 days old, but Owen is very cautious with her and hands her things very gently. And the other day when she was crying, Cam, who's only just turned two, said, "I'm going to hold her hand, Mama." And he went and he sat and he held her little hand in her hand and she stopped crying. So it was like the cutest moment. Yeah, it's really sweet.
And I love seeing all of them on social. They're on yours and they're on Tori's as well. And it's just so nice. And it's heartwarming. And I feel that, like, especially in the day and age that we're living in, there's so much trash happening in the world and so much to bring us down that when I'm scrolling and I see that, I stop and it's like a breath of fresh air.
Thanks. I think that too. I think that everyone having kids is so optimistic and so wonderful. And it's funny, I have a friend right now who's going through a tough health diagnosis and I'm sharing, you know, all these pictures of Sloan, all these things. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, no, I need that. I need that right now. Keep sharing that. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind is that we have, even though we have many people in our lives that are going through tough times or ourselves going through tough times, share the joy, man, share the happiness and be unapologetic in it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to say, I've gotta give you props, Kathy, because, you know, there are a lot of people that go through pregnancy, a lot of moms, you know, that, and then they have their children and that they're on their own. Sometimes they'll have the help of their partner. Sometimes they don't. And if they're fortunate enough, they will have the help of their parents. Mm-hmm. And in your case, like, you are all in.
I am all in. And just to say that Tori's husband, Braden, is wonderful. He's amazing. But of course, he has to go back to work. And so he can only do so much for the three kids as well. So I am very lucky that Victoria's excited to have me come. And she lives about an hour from me. So I've rented and I'm in this little bungalow, this Airbnb bungalow for a month. I came out to have 2 weeks before the baby and 2 weeks after, but then Sloan came early. So I'll have like, I only had about less than a week before the baby, in fact, and I'll have lots of time afterwards to help out. And the reason that I rented somewhere separate is, well, there's a few reasons, Pina. So there's
tell.
Because there are good ones and there are silly ones, but yeah.
Okay. So if you, if anyone listening out there has a child expecting, then you're going to want to take notes because I know a few of these reasons, not all of them, and they're pretty good. So Kathy, share.
Okay. So the house that I've rented is about 2 kilometers from their house. So it's very close. I can be over there in 5 minutes, which I had to do, of course, when Victoria had the baby in the middle of the night. The reason I wanted to stay separate, first of all, they don't have an assigned bedroom for me at their house. So I'd either be on a couch or I'd be sneaking in to sleep in the spare bed in one of the boys' rooms or whatever. So the nighttime would be a little chaotic. How's that, to say the least? And I think if I'm going to help, I need a good night's sleep. And so if I can come back here, I always get a good night's sleep. Now, so I got, you know, texted by Braden one morning at about 5 o'clock saying, can you come in half an hour? Of course I can't, you know, because they were just at that stage. Normally though, I don't have to get over, you know, in the middle of the night. So I get a good night's sleep. They have 2 cats. I'm not allergic to cats, just not really fond of cats. How's that? And they're everywhere. And I don't know what to do with them. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, not sure how to put babies into all of that. They are all vegan. Nothing against being a vegan, but I'm not a vegan. So I would, and they've said, it's okay. You can cook whatever you want in our house. But I would feel bad about that. I would feel bad.
Yeah.
Roasting a piece of chicken, especially when I sit next to Owen and he says, what animals in your dinner, Grandma? Anyway, a chicken. So, and that's, I'm not, you know, I 100%, of course, fully support their vegan lifestyle. And I take vegan food over to them all the time. And I eat vegan when I'm with them, or I'll take something over that I've already prepared here and I can just heat up, but I don't have to cook in their kitchen. And I want to cook my own food. Another reason I got here 2 kilometers is I brought my bike so I can ride my bike over there. I can lend them a car if they need a second car because I do have my car here as well. It gives me some space. I'm still working. I'm still doing my show once a week. And that's hard when there's, you know, kids around everywhere and things going on. I can bring laundry back here and do it for them and take it back so I don't have to be in the way with them. So it has a lot of benefits. And I'm lucky, you know, obviously I'm paying for this. I'm lucky to be able to afford to do this. So that's definitely something to keep in consideration. The last time I did this, when Cam was born 2 years ago, we were in the thick of COVID and lockdown, pretty much in our bubbles and everything. And Cam had some medical concerns that we knew were going to happen when he came out. So I actually stayed in a hotel room just about 500 meters from their house. Actually, it was lucky. Wow. There was very close to their old place. and would go over every day so I could stay clean in my bubble by myself. And that's another benefit of being here at my house right now. I've got two kids living there still, yeah. Some students and working, and my husband. They're all going out to work. They're seeing people. Absolutely fair. No problem. But because we have a newborn, I can sort of stay clean here. And when I go into work, I wear a mask in the studio and a mask in the hallways, et cetera. So it just keeps that level of not just COVID, any infection down, right? For a newborn.
Yeah. Lots of benefits. All amazing reasons. Before we break though, Kathy, you told me a really fun reason. Come on, spill it.
The really fun reason?
Yeah, come on.
Fun reason. I've forgotten now. What did I say? Oh, they're dry.
So you can drink your wine where you are. There you go.
So I can take wine to their house and that's fine. And actually their house is close enough for me to walk home to. So how about that?
There you go.
It's all good, Vina.
It's don't awesome. Go anywhere because we're talking about grandma life with Kathy Buckworth on the show today, and we will be back with more. You're tuned into 640 Toronto.
You're listening to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. This is The Parenting Show on 640 Toronto, and I'm your host, Pina Crispo, chicmama.ca. We've got our special guest, who also happens to be a great friend of mine, Kathy Buckworth, host of the Go-To Grandma podcast, parenting expert, author, and just an amazing human being. And Kathy, I'm just so happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see you too. It's been ages, and thank you. You're so kind. And I'm so happy to be on your show. I love listening to your show. You have such great advice for our new parents. Oh, I don't want to say old parents, but veteran parents, those that parents with older kids. You have lots of advice from like zero to teen. It's great. I love it.
And I get to bring people on like you to share stories with and have great laughs with and get some advice from. So we're talking about the fact that you are not a grandma times one, times two, but now times three, because baby Sloan has arrived less than a week ago.
Yeah, baby Sloan is here and she's doing really well. And she has her two big brothers looking out for her. So yeah, we're really enjoying the three of them. And you know what it's like when you have a newborn? They're a bit quiet when they come out, right? So they trick you a little bit, right? Like you're thinking, oh, this baby sleeps all the time, hardly ever cries. We know what's coming, right? So we know what's coming. So I'm here to help out for another couple of weeks. Yeah.
So Kathy, honestly, I think it's amazing that you are all in. You're helping Tori, your daughter, with the arrival of the third baby. And that says a lot. Like a lot of people don't get that support. They don't get that help. And the way you're doing it, I think is brilliant. And I'm sure that Tori is loving it because you're not staying at their place. Mm-hmm. You've got a little Airbnb, you know, about 5 minutes away. And so you come and go and you help out where you can. And that's a huge help because us moms know, you know, bringing that baby home is a game changer. It doesn't matter if it's the first baby, the second, the third, the fourth. You know, I can only speak on three, but you can speak on four.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Julie.
You speak on six.
Can speak on six, you know, but it's a great help. But I want to know, how do you know when too much is too much, or to give more, or to be like, this is my cue to leave now. Peace out, guys.
It's a great question because we think, you know, we want to help, but how are we really helping? Where do they want the help? Well, the first piece of advice I'd give is just to ask, right? Just say, how can I help the most? Do you want me to clean up the kitchen? Do you want me to do some laundry? Do you want me to just sit and hold a baby? Do you want me to take a toddler to the park? Do you want me to cut up their lunch? Can I go to the grocery store? Do you need any medications? Like, you know, like, so because I have a car here, which is great, and I'm staying just a couple of kilometers from them, I can do that. Sometimes another great thing about staying here is I'll take Owen, who's three, and bring him to my house for the day, right? And we'll go to the park and do different things. So then they've only got the two kids to deal with. But, you know, so I ask Victoria, sort of lay out some options. And I say, can I take Owen today? You know, can I just come to the house and you can go and sleep? You know, Braden, can I put them in a stroller and take them for a walk? So ask the question first, find out what they're really responding to, and then just keep doing that. Don't keep asking too, because I think that can be like, oh, we're fine, mom. And they're not fine, right? Say, actually, yeah, she really liked it when I took him for a stroller walk. So I'm just going to text Victoria and say, I'm coming over in half an hour, going to take him up for a stroller walk. Is that okay? And then she can just say, okay. So she doesn't always feel like she's asking for a favor, which I don't consider it a favor. I'm, you know, really happy to help out. But then she's not always saying, can you come here? Can you do this? Can you do that? Which is tiring, as we know, right? Like to always be asking for help. So just help. And I'll stop by in the morning. I'll go by this little coffee shop that's near here, get myself a coffee, get one for her husband. Victoria doesn't drink coffee, but I'll get a juice for the kids. I'll pick up a couple of vegan, you know, treats and just take them over. I'm not going to stop and say, I'm on my way to, you know, do you need anything? They just get it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they do. They need, and they're grateful when you bring it, you know, and appreciative.
Exactly. And, you know, and before I came out here, I was doing a lot of baking at home and bringing it out to Victoria, and she was throwing it in the freezer. So we've got a lot of stuff stored up as well. So there's things you can do before you get here that are really helpful. Or if you can't be around when the new baby is coming, you know, you can arrange to have groceries delivered. You can arrange, you know, sometimes just order them takeout and have it turn up at their door. So you know, you can arrange things for them, or maybe they need their lawn mowed or whatever it is. We all know that the baby usurps or takes over all of the other chores that you would normally be doing, right? So what's being left on the side? Try to pick up those things, not just sit and hold a baby, although that's very helpful and a nice thing to do.
And that, come on, what grandma, sibling, aunt, uncle, you know, anyone in the world, friend, doesn't want to sit and hold the baby for a little bit, you know?
That's right. And so, you know, I do that, obviously I do that, but I'm more on hands-on with the boys, obviously, who are running all over the place. And Victoria just gave birth 6 days ago, you know, so it's easier for me to run around and do that. You know, and we also want to be conscious of the fact that I know when I'm over there sometimes, let me just say this, and I know it's true for most people, no one can drive you nuts like your own mom. Am I right? No. So, and even though Victoria is grateful for my help, I know I'm just getting on her nerves because I'm her mom, like, but you know, so you sort of need to know when to back off too. So I don't have dinner with them every night. I'm not seeing them this morning. I don't see them in the morning sometimes, but sometimes I do. So I'll just say, what about today? I'm like, what if I come by at 4 o'clock and take the boys for a couple of hours, you guys can get dinner ready or do whatever. And then I'll leave. I won't stay for dinner. But I had dinner there last night because I didn't, you know, so every day can be sort of different and you never know how you're going to feel. So I said, Victoria, let's just text during the day. I'm right here. I'm 2 kilometers away. Do you need me? Do you not need me? Right. And we figure it out.
It's so helpful. Like I think about when I had the kids too. I'm very fortunate. At the time, my parents lived a 15-minute car ride away. So if I needed something, you know, they would just like jump in the car and they'd be over in no time, right? So 15 minutes is nothing. And it was like so helpful. And the same thing, they would come over with like food and they'd keep, especially when Marcus was born and I had the girls, you know, Samantha was 4 and Liliana was 2. So it's hard.
You were similar age to Victoria's then. Very similar.
Yeah. I had C-sections, right? So it's like, that's the best day. And the doctors are like, so you had a C-section, just a reminder, don't lift anything. And I'm thinking to myself,
don't lift anything heavier than your baby. You're like, what?
Yeah. And I'm like, I have 2 kids, 4 and 2. What do you want me to do? Okay. Like, it's inevitable. Like,
oh, and we went out for a family walk when Sloan was 2 days old, I think. This is great.
You know, I saw the pictures.
Right. And Victoria's like, we're going for a walk. We're not breaking our routine. The boys love going for a walk. So we go for a walk. And I saw some messages come through on social, which were like, you should be in bed for 2 weeks resting. I'm like, whoever lies in bed for 2 weeks after they have a baby, let alone their third, right? You know, but you have to do, like, Victoria was, you know, she was very lucky that she was able to sort of get going right away. Not everyone's like that. She's not trying to show up anybody else. It's just how she felt and how she's doing, you know. So everybody do yourself in terms of your recovery time, because it can
absolutely be- you have to do. And I think that this is something that is good for any new mom to hear, that you got to do you, and you got to do what feels good. If you're not feeling good, then you don't do it and you rest and you stay home. But if, like, for a lot of people, they need to get out and get some fresh air because they just can't deal inside. And they're like, I'm going to lose my mind. I need to get out there. And that does them so much good.
So much good. Going for a walk is one of the best things. If you're up for it, going for a walk is great. And also just feeling like you're part of the world again. Because you know, when you have that new baby and you feel like it's so surreal, you're the only one that's up at 3 a.m. You're the only one, you know what I mean? So I think it's just like, oh, the world is still functioning around me. You know, it's a good reset, right?
Yeah. And you know what, like Kathy, you have 4 kids. I've got 3. And it's so true. It doesn't, every single time I came home from the hospital, I was like, who am I? What is going on? Mm-hmm. I left this home with 2 kids. I'm back with 3 now.
Yikes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can actually be very overwhelming and scary, you know, and I want to pick your brain on that, but let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere because this is the Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to the Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
It is Sunday night and you are tuned into the Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And with me, I've got Kathy Buckworth, host of the Grandma To Go podcast, author, parenting expert, and newly grandma to baby Sloan, the first granddaughter in the family. Kathy, congratulations again.
And thank
you. I'm so happy to be talking about this with you on the show tonight. Before the break, we were talking about how, you know, life is, it just throws you for a loop. Like, you know that this baby's coming, you're expecting it, but there's nothing like coming back into the home with this new life and you're like, wow, what's going on? It just throws you for this loop.
It does. And you know, the bringing home the first baby is obviously the biggest transition that everyone goes through. From 0 babies to 1 is like from 0 to 1,000, as we know.
Yeah.
Each one comes home, obviously there's an impact and the dynamic changes, right? So you bring home the second one and you think, oh, gee, maybe having the first one was easy because I didn't have that other one running around, right? And you bring them the third one and you think, what was I complaining about with only 2 kids? Now I got, you know, so everything sort of builds on each other and you feel more and more the weight of responsibility. Is, you know, sometimes I used to look at my kids and when I had the fourth one, I'd look and think, oh, I have to teach this one to read as well. Like, am I not done with it? Life, do you know what I mean? So you look at each one, you think there's that, you know, you see them change and evolve and grow and you're thinking, I'm kind of responsible for that, right? So we're starting again, you know, and that's a lot.
It is. And then, you know, now we're also in a time where like social media is just, it's part of our everyday lives. Like I look back and I can remember a time before social media, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, it feels like it's been around forever. And, you know, I know that when you had kids, it was a certain way. When I had kids, it was a certain way. You not only social media, but even technology and the toys the kids have and the baby monitors and how they've evolved and all that stuff to what it's like now when you are a mom, right? So, you know, you made mention, you're like, those nights when you feel like isolated and you're like, okay, I'm alone and it's 3 a.m. and I'm feeding my baby. I know for myself, that's when I launched my Facebook group,
right?
My Chic Mama's Facebook group. So we could go on the Facebook group and, you know, you knew that there were other moms out there at the same time and they were up, you know, warming up bottles or breastfeeding or changing a diaper. And you could be like, oh my God. Okay. So what's going on? You know, and you had someone to talk to.
Absolutely.
You didn't have that.
I didn't have that. Yeah. You know, Victoria was born in 1991. There were no smartphones. There was no, like, I had a pager, you know? And so in the middle of the night, you really were the only one, for good or for bad. You know, I joked about, you know, you had to wear a headlamp, you know, to read a book and whatever, you're feeding or rocking the baby or trying to get them to go to sleep. You did feel all alone, which was, you know, isolating, of course, as a new mom, that's a lot to take in. But on the other hand, today now with social media, as you've said, you can go on, you can almost find anyone online all the time, particularly new parents who are up, you know, in the middle of the night. Yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, right? Because, you know, you can always find people that are ready to criticize you at any time of the day or night as well. Or, oh, look at that. You know, if we talk about, oh, look at, she's out for a walk and the baby's 2 days old. I haven't left the house in 10 days. You know, we always find someone to compare ourselves with, which isn't great sometimes. And we can find ourselves spiraling a little bit to say, I should be doing more. Things aren't happening the way I want to. Her life looks perfect. And we know that's not all true on social media. We know this in our brains, but when we're up at 3 a.m, it's hard to remember that we know that everything's not perfect for everyone else.
It is really hard. And that comparison game, or whatever you want to call it, can be, what's the word I'm looking for? Dangerous.
Absolutely dangerous. And it can really play with your emotions, and it can play obviously with your mental well-being. So it's something that we have to keep in mind, that maybe just because you can go online at 3 a.m, maybe you should pick up a book with a head flashlight. Just go old school like me and do that instead. And you know, grandparenting can be competitive online.
I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say, like, so yes, you know, as a mom, I can only speak from that point of view, but as a mom, like I know that even when I had Samantha 12 years ago, I'd be like seeing these other moms and I'm like, how do they do it? Like, you know, I'm struggling, I'm having a really hard time, but they've got like two or more under their belt, and then they seem like, you know, they're just sailing through. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? You know? And so I know that it was difficult for me, and the comparisons got to me. You know what I mean? I was often comparing myself to others. It's a different world for me now. I do not do that. I know better. Right. And I know that it's not always what you see. No. Like what you see is not always what you get, I should say, on social media. But I wanted to know, I was like, oh, I wonder how the grandma game is on social media.
Grandma game. Yeah. So it's interesting. And I think, and I will just, this is my theory. How's that? That grandparents, we post a lot of, oh, here's my granddaughter. So cute. Here's my grandsons. And guess what he said today? And they're so sweet and whatever. We post a lot of positive things. And you know, there's negative stuff that happens all the time, obviously with kids, grandkids, et cetera. But I think as grandparents, we tend to err on the positive. First of all, because we want to see the positive. And we know that, you know, we're only with them a certain amount of the day. So we probably do get the best of them a lot of the time. The second thing is they're not our kids. We have to keep in mind, I don't want to post bad things about my grandchildren that my daughter is going to see and hurt her feelings or say, mom, why would you say that? He did that one time, you know, like, so I think grandparents will err on the side of, well, let's just share all the positive. I am there for that. I'm just saying that. But I think that's the reason why. I think we feel more at liberty to criticize our own children online or talk to them about it or say, I'm going to share this. This is okay. I can't ask my 3-year-old grandson if it's okay if I share the fact that he misbehaved. And I don't want to share that anyway. And my daughter certainly doesn't want to everyone to read it. So there's a different sort of filter that happens on the grandparent side. So I think on that, you know, we take it with a grain of salt to say, yeah, that's a cute picture, but you know, how many times did it take to get that shot? And are they that perfect all the time? No, of course they're not. They're human beings, right? So the grandparent game is less competitive in that sense, because I think we get each other, if you know what I mean.
But I have a question.
Sure.
Have you ever gotten any hate for your grandma posts?
I haven't got hate, but I have had, I wouldn't go that far, but I have had criticism. I have talked a lot about the fact that the number one thing that we can do as grandparents is support our kids, support your son or your daughter, whoever's the parent of your grandkids, the partnership, because they hold, first of all, they hold the keys to the grandparent kingdom. They're the ones that are going to give you they don't have to give you access. They don't, you know, they're kids, right? But secondly, you want to protect that relationship first, because that's the relationship that really matters. So once you've protected that relationship and that's good, then the rest flows down to the grandkids. So I often talk about that. I say, and you can't do the old, whatever happens at grandma's house stays at grandma's house. That does not fly anymore. You go by their parenting rules. Do I think some of the parenting rules that they have are not what I would do normally? Maybe. I joke with them about it. I can joke with my friends about it, but I follow them, right? These are their parenting rules. And you know, I joke that now Owen's 3.5, he could actually report back on me.
But yes, he can.
He has nothing to report back on me. I play by the rules, and it's really important. So I do get criticized for that, saying grandmas can do whatever they want. I'm like, no, they can't. They go by the parenting rules. That is really important.
Thank you for saying that, because I often struggle even though my kids are older, I'll like, you know, and I know that it's not done, you know, out of and with any bad intention. It's just like grandparents want to spoil the grandkids. And then I'm standing there, I'm like, I just said they can't have that. What are we doing? You know, so thank you for playing by the rules. I appreciate it. And I'm sure that Tori appreciates it as well. We are talking all about the grandma life with Kathy Buckworth, host of the Go To Grandma podcast, parenting expert, author, and just an amazing person. Don't go anywhere because we will be back with more right here on The Parenting Show on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
This is The Parenting Show on 640 Toronto, and I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. I've got my girlfriend, Kathy Buckworth, joining me on the show tonight, host of the Go To Grandma podcast, author, parenting expert, and now grandma of three. You've got Owen, you've got Cameron, and you've got Sloan, 6 days old.
What? I know. Sloane Isabel. How cute, eh? Yeah.
She's adorable. The boys are adorable too, but you know, babies are always like when they're fresh.
Exactly. No, they're all doing great. Actually, they're adjusting. They're all adjusting. How's that? They're all doing really well with
nice. And you know what? We were just talking off air about some stuff and I was mind blown because I thought that I was with technology and I know like the latest and the greatest, but clearly I don't. I'm out of touch, especially in the parenting world of technology. So, Kathy, you didn't like, I know your baby monitors were, you know, just like
sound.
Yeah.
And honestly, why would I have it on? I can hear the baby crying down the hall. It's ridiculous. Like, it was just sound, right? That was it.
And then I had where I could have a monitor like in the kitchen or the living room and I could also see.
Right. Exactly right. But you had to be within a distance of nursery, right? Like you had to be, yes. You have that. And now of course, and this will be old news for all the new moms out there.
But new news to people like me.
But you, and now of course, you can set up cameras that attach to your phone, right? So you can be anywhere. So literally when Victoria, if she is at the hospital giving birth to baby number three, she can say, Mom, Owen just woke up, you know, in his room, you know, and I'm like, I was on my way. So, you know, like you're being monitored, which is awesome because you can track everything. So there's little monitors that go back and forth between the boys' bedrooms when I'm there, but also Owen, who he's 3 and a half, he still naps most days, but he also has some quiet time in his room afterwards, which he likes. So Victoria can literally turn on the sound, you know, a timer sound that says, you know, you've got 5 more minutes. She'll say, and playtime's over, you know, and so she can talk to him through that. She can talk to him if he wakes up and he's scared or something. She obviously can go up to his room too, but she can sort of judge, you know, is this just a little, you know, or is he really, you know, need some comfort, right? So it's very convenient, actually, especially when she's downstairs with the third baby and needs to know, do I need to put this baby down so I can go take care of what's happening upstairs? So yeah, the technology is great for the new baby. I don't know the name of the app, but I could get it to you. They do have an app. She and Braid and her husband share an app so they can enter the baby's sleep pattern. If they had a poop, if you want to record everything, how much the baby ate, how long it took to feed, when the last feed started, all that. So they could share it. And they heard that, I know, with Cam too. They can share that information because, you know, in the middle of the night, I remember writing it down. You
That's
know?
What I was going to say. I have a notebook and I think I still have it somewhere.
Yeah.
Pen to paper.
Right. And now, and what's great is they share this app, right? So then Wayne doesn't have to wake Victoria up to say, is it time to feed the baby? What's happening? You know, he can just look at the app. So that's a fantastic advancement. And of course, they have the sound machines, you know, in the house that are running. So the crashing waves and all that. And the boys are used to that. So there's a lot of technology sort of going into the house, which a lot was around when the 2-year-old was born.
Yeah.
But I am amazed by it and I love it. And I love that they have this, a baby Brezza. Have you heard of these? And again, this is old news for a lot of parents, but it makes, if you're doing powdered formula, it's like a coffee maker. You put in the powdered formula water and it mixes it up itself.
Yes, that they've had. Mm-hmm. They had when I had the kids.
Right.
Yes,
so I was. Because you never make a mistake.
Yeah. See, I was fully on tap and on demand.
Right.
So it was like literally, I'm like, okay, here you go, whatever, yeah. On the boob, right? But I remember like a lot of my girlfriends that you know had difficulties breastfeeding. You know, it just didn't work for them, and they formula fed, and they loved that thing, and I was like, whoa, that's like an espresso for babies, but 100%. With milk.
And what's great is if you are, you know, in Victoria, you know, supplementing with bottles and things, if I'm over there, I'm never worried about mixing it wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, 'cause it's always going to be the right amount, especially when the baby's young, you want to make sure you're getting it exactly right. So it takes that. Yeah. Work,
sure. That's amazing. Okay. Now I have another question.
Sure.
So for all the grandparents or grandparents to be, you're going to want to listen up. I need to know, what are the go-to toys to have at grandma and granddad's house?
Oh, interesting. And what's funny is my daughter, Tori, has a lot of what I would call old school toys, like wooden blocks, right? And
love those.
Things like that. And just very basic toys, a lot of sort of, you know, wooden, or they're not electronic. They don't make any noise.
I love those.
So she has all of that at her house, but at my house, I've got things that make noise. How's that? So it's,
okay.
So it's like a fire truck, maybe where, you know, a battery makes the siren go off, or an electric or electronic sort of reading thing where you point a pen and it says the words, those sorts of things. So they're getting a good mix of those things. I will just say that Victoria doesn't let the boys watch TV or videos until they're two, and then they just get 20 minutes. So Owen is only watching Little Bear and Give a Mouse a Cookie are the two shows that he watches. So there's not a lot of, we don't have to worry about getting those toys like from Paw Patrol or from all these different things, because they don't even know what that is.
They don't know who they are.
They don't know what
that's
that
the
is.
Best.
They don't know the branding of the toys and things. Yeah. So the toys are, like I said, are pretty basic. Owen and I spent an hour yesterday coloring. You know, we keep it pretty low key. We keep it, you know, it's all, like I said, it's the toys are almost what I have a whole box of Hot Wheel cars from my husband, from my two sons, and now for Owen and Cam and Sloan. So, you know, we sort of try to throw it back to that. Victoria rotates the toys out, so they only have a certain amount on the shelves. You know, sometimes you hear parents say, oh, my baby is so bored with toys so quickly. I'm like, that's because they need time with that toy. They need weeks with one or two toys. If they play with it the first time, they don't really know what to do with it, right?
Yeah.
So just not really sure how to play with it. So that's my big advice too, is keep the same toys. You don't need to keep adding and adding to them. We have a lot of outdoor toys too, a lot of water toys, you know, tactical play, that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's super fun.
I think that is a fantastic point, not only for the parents and the grandparents and whoever else is spending time with the kids. It's like, rotate the toys and let them like just play with a few at a time, because they get overwhelmed.
They do. It's too much for them sometimes. One toy that they love is Magnetiles. You know Magnetiles, where they're building anything, building.
Oh,
so I just got some Duplo for them. So anything building is really big, because you can do so much with it. And what I've learned from Victoria, and she actually has a course on this online, Victoria Halpin, is independent play. Right. So I don't always have to say, what if you put the red block there? What if you did this? Victoria would be like, Mom, stop talking. Like, let them explore it for themselves. Which is really cool. And they do, they just sit and figure it out. So less talking, more playing. And they will independently play for hours. I'm not kidding. It's fantastic.
Here, hold on. Let's plug the website one more time. What is it?
Mine?
No, we're going to get to yours, but Victoria, of course.
Oh, for Tori. So ToriHalpin.com, and you can find Tori on Instagram. It's H-A-L-P-I-N, Tori Halpin. And she's got some great advice up there. And the course on independent play is really fantastic. It's part of the whole gentle parenting movement, which she is a great advocate. Victoria's a trained teacher, you know, a child professional. So this is not coming out of nowhere. And she does a lot of research on that kind of stuff. If you want to find my stuff.
Now. So we've got that for the young parents, you know, all about gentle parenting, which she taught me about because I had no idea what it was. And we spoke about it on the parenting show. But now for the grandparents and grandparents to be, where do we find all this juicy grandparent info?
Right. So Go To Grandma, it airs on Zoomer Radio Saturday mornings at 7:30, but it's up on the podcast as well. We are approaching our 100th episode, which is super exciting. Never run out of things to talk about. I say it's a show for today's grandparents, because we're not just grandparents. We're people who travel, We are interested in fitness, nutrition, technology. I have a whole segments on technology for the house for grandparents, as well as what video game should I play with my 8-year-old grandson? You know,
amazing.
A good friend Avery Swartz on explained social media terms, like what does engagement mean? What is, you know, and what's appropriate to post online. I love the travel segments you're doing now that travel is up and running. We're doing a lot of multi-generational travel tips, of course, you know, fitness, nutrition, what foods to have for your, which are good for your grandkids, which are also good for you. You know, and we do mindfulness. I've done so many different shows about the different things that we're all faced with. And of course, we always have advice on estate planning and, you know, relationships, some of the more serious subjects. We cover those obviously as well.
It's really kind great. Of like what I do, and you just take it to the grandparent level. I love it. And that's why we're friends. And that's why we get along so great, you know?
Exactly. I do a second podcast too called it's called Elder Wisdom Stories from the Green Bench. And I do it in association with Schlegel Villages, which is retirement and long-term care homes. And I interview one person at a time. I interviewed a fighter pilot the other day who was 92, I believe. And we get their stories and they share them not only obviously with our listeners, but their families love hearing them. And I learn so much wisdom. And that's what we're all about, is sharing elder wisdom, which we don't do enough.
I love it. And you know what? Like storytelling, you cannot go wrong with a good story. Yeah, that's for sure. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight. And congratulations again. I cannot wait to meet baby Sloan because, oh my gosh, I remember, how old was Owen? You guys came in and we did the show together. It was you, Tori, and Owen.
It was just before lockdown, if you'll remember, just before that hit. And he was born in November. So I think it was like that spring, like February.
Yeah, March. Probably like February or something like that.
Yeah, February, March. 4 or 5 months old. Yeah, he was tiny.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. We're gonna do a show with Tori. Not now, because, you know, we have to give her some time. Maybe next week. I'm only kidding. But that is it for us. Thank you so much, Kathy. And again, where can people find you?
They can find me at kathybuckworth.com, and I'm just Kathy Buckworth, Kathy with a K, on all socials as well too. So pretty easy.
Guys, also go check out her books. She's got like the best advice ever. But that is it for us. Have a fantastic Sunday, and we will catch you next week, same time, same place. This is The Parenting Show, and I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.